Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Yo, what's poppin'? You know what time it is. Your boy, Mr. J. Hill. J. Hill Podcast, we are in the building. Yes, sir. I got a returning guest here, friend of the show. I always call people friend of the shows when they came more than once. Miss Bella Black is in the building.
Yep, thank you.
I stumbled on my words. You know what I'm saying?
It's all right. We stumble sometimes.
How you feel? How you been since the last time I talked to you?
I've been so good. Like, so much stuff has happened and changed. And I've been good. I've been on the incline.
What's some of the things that changed, I guess, for the better?
I feel, well, for one, I'm on a new show, P-Valley.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Thank you. That's changed. I recently published my first book.
Mm-hmm. Congrats.
I closed on a home.
It's the big house you were just telling me about.
Yeah.
The big house. Yeah. Shit changed. It's different over here now.
Yeah. It's changed for the better.
Yeah. I feel like when I talked to you the first time, it was like you, I mean, we always in grind mode, but I felt like I felt the spirit of grind on you. Like, it was like, man, I'm out here just, I'm grinding. You get what I'm saying? I felt like, I say this all the time. It might be, my audience probably getting tired of it, but me and Ceddie Hendricks was talking about this, like, being in the middle as, like, being a creator, artist, or whatever, and, like, how that being the most frustrating part. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was talking to you, I kind of felt that from you.
Absolutely.
How you feeling now?
I feel like I'm still getting there, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a forever journey. You know, I think Nipsey said it best, you know, like it's definitely a marathon. So like with me accomplishing stuff, you still want to do more, you still working. I feel like it's so much going on because the industry is changing so much every day, from the artists to what we consider talent to just music. And you just got to continue to fight to like, remain yourself in the midst of all that, and
100%.
Not to try to like, you know, switch who you are and what you're doing, but know how to adjust where things need to be adjusted at, if that makes sense. And so just that is, you know, just kind of a little.
My friend got a saying from back home. He always said like, adapt or retire.
Yeah.
Like you got to adapt. But again, like you said, not adapt so much where you can't recognize yourself when you look in the mirror. Yeah,
absolutely.
What do you think is that some of the, I guess before we get into the P-Valley and stuff, like when it comes to this music, what are some of the changes that's being made in the industry that you're noticing that you feel like you have to like get used to?
I don't really know per se, but I can tell you, I feel like a lot of the artists now are more free.
Free in which way?
Like, I feel like they're just like going and creating. Like they're not trying to overdo it. They're not trying to overthink it. They're just going and they just like, y'all gonna get what I give y'all.
Okay. Do you think that works?
It works for them.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like it's working for them. And I mean, I think it works. Mm-hmm. And I adore that because I be looking like, I wish that I could just go in and be like, what or whatever. But I'm such a realist and I just want to like talk about my story and want to impact and influence people. And I be wishing like, oh, I wish I could just go in the studio and do one take or go in the studio and, you know, do certain things. I really love it. I love to see where it is. I just feel like it's just something really dope. But I can spend days on a song, you know, trying to perfect it and making sure that each word and each phrase and metaphors and triple entendres and things like that are exactly how I want them to be. I still, for me, I look at it as a sport. And I'm very competitive, not with each other, but with myself and beating out like that version of me, or I have these different levels of myself that I want to hit. And so I'm constantly working on those things. And I feel like with the industry, not everybody, but a lot of the artists, they ain't even thinking about that. They just like, whatever, I just want to make some music, have fun, do whatever. It ain't even that deep to me. Mm-hmm. And I really, really, really love to see it because I be like, damn. Just let me go in here and make some shit.
When the last time have you done that, though?
I tried it before, but I don't like it for me.
I was going to ask, it seems like, you know, especially for people that have been doing things a while, we have this way of, like, wanting to do it our way or wanting to be our authentic self. And I'll just be curious, like, have you ever seen where that can get in your way?
Absolutely. Absolutely, all the time. Literally, this morning, I was just, like, sitting there talking to God, like, allow me to get out my way, you know? Like, because I know that, again, with me being such a perfectionist and wanting shit done a certain type of way, like, I know that I can get in my way a lot. I want to be able to just be more free and just release, because I feel like with my music, I need to, with anything that I'm creating, I just need to release and just try. You know, try new stuff. And like I said, I went in the studio and I tried the, like, punching stuff and all that. And maybe if I keep trying, because I only tried it a few times, then I'm pretty sure I get better at it. But just as far as, like, wanting everything to be right and perfect, that's something that I just be like, God. And I be scared sometimes to ask to be released from that, because I'd be worried, like, what if your music sound like shit?
Yo, I'm not going to lie to you. One thing somebody told me that stood out for so long. Actually, shout out to his name is Ian Schwartzman. He's Joe Budden manager. He said, because I felt the same way you felt. He was like, bro, nobody ever remembers the shit that didn't work.
Right, absolutely.
And that inspired me to, like, continue to create, because it'd be times where I feel like I get in my own way, especially when it comes to, like, creating. And I just had this conversation earlier about how I've had success in certain areas that now I feel like I'm a slave to it. So now I be scared to create things, because, like, if this don't hit, I don't want to look like a failure. And it's like, bro, if you don't just do this shit.
Just do it.
Yeah, so I definitely understand that. But, I mean, shit, keep working at it. My question, I'm curious, as far as your music career.
Okay.
What would you name this place in your career right now? If you had to name this area, what would you name it?
Star.
Star?
Yeah.
Why Star?
Because I feel like I'm getting another chance to, like, start and try those new things.
So start.
Star.
Star.
S-T-A-R.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I'm developing more. I feel like I'm taking my artistry more serious. What I mean by that is, like, actually taking the time to study more music. Taking the time to study more film. Looking at different ways to incorporate different things and being more intentional with stuff that I'm doing. So I realized, like, you know, with this season that I'm in now, the more intentional that I am, the more that I actually say, okay, this is the goal. When I know my target, I hit it every time. But this is something new to me. So now I just want to take this Star era into the rest of my life, you know, where I can know, okay, this is your target. Instead of just, like, shooting to try to shoot and try to put up points, like, no, if this is what you know that you want to hit, let's make this your target every single time.
So, wait, Star, give me the correlation. Because I guess when I think of Star, I think of, like, already made it big lights right now. When I think of what you just said, kind of like artist development, I think of haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, I feel like nobody ever gets there. I feel like it's a forever thing.
Yeah, for
me,
sure.
You're forever growing.
It's like
forever.
Healing.
Like, yeah. So, again, like, with the whole Star thing, I feel like a star is just a person who is ready to grow and to continue to get bigger and better at everything that they're doing at every aspect of their life. I feel like a star is a person that realizes, like, it's okay for me to look like this. It's okay for me to do that and not allow things to hold them back. And that's what makes someone a star.
Okay. All right. So, I like that. Yo, one thing that stands out about your career is this TikTok thing, but basically the versatility.
Right.
You as an artist, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel like on TikTok, you big into your acting bag. Like you doing it, like you're a whole different character over there, right?
Yeah.
And of course, you're now doing P-Valley. Mm-hmm. Does that ever get in the way of you wanting to produce the music that you want to do?
With my TikTok, I wouldn't say that it gets in the way. I don't think it get in the way. I just feel like in my head, when I was first getting into music, that you chose your fan base.
Mm.
And that's not how it works. Your fan base will choose you. Mm. And so I don't really think it get in the way. I think that I get to show myself more now, which goes back into the star thing, because like I used to be shy to get on, to do interviews, to talk to people, to say certain things on TikTok or do certain things on Instagram, because I felt like people on TikTok understood me more because mm-hmm. I was so country and so down to earth and so like real. I'll get on there with no wig on. I get up there looking crazy, fresh out the bed, fresh, just normal type shit. And I feel like that's why I was so much more comfortable on TikTok, where I could be more versatile and could be myself, because I was looking at Instagram and seeing how a lot of stuff over there was more polished and put together. Mm-hmm. And it was times where I wasn't as polished as I would want it to be, or put together, or knew the right way to pronounce shit because I'm country, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Or say things that people wouldn't quite understand it. So I really think that me being versatile on TikTok really helped people to receive more, because they really get to know the person behind the music.
Mm, okay. Yo, you said something about when I first came into this, I thought I chose my audience, but your audience chooses you, yeah. Like he finds you. Expound on that for the people. Like, what does that mean, and how have you learned that?
So the way that I learned that is because, like, watching. So what I mean is, like, I would look at people, other artists, mm-hmm. and I'd be like, damn, why is this not my fan base? Or I would want the certain type of people, you know, to be fans of my music. I would want those type of people to do the TikTok dances, or to be at the shows, or dress a certain way like this. And I had to understand that that's not who your music is resonating with. Like, you can't go and try to perform at a high school when you make a music about grown woman shit. Like, not even sex, just being a mother, struggling, going through things. They can't relate. They don't understand it, you know? And so I used to hate when, I will never forget, I was talking to labels, I would not mention their name, and they were like, and big labels, and they were like, well, who's your target audience? So who's your target thing? And at the time, I didn't quite understand it, because again, like I said, I was trying to market to a whole nother thing, a whole nother crowd of people. But I had to sit down and look at not the city, not the state or the country where people from. I had to really sit down and look at the age range, look at whether it's men or women, and then take a step back from that and really dive into my followers and go on their pages and look at the certain comments where people are like overly resonating. And it's not just the people that's commenting the, oh, this fire and the likes and the stars and shit. They're actually saying why they rock with me. And I could go to their pages and I could see why they were able to choose me to be a fan of my music and my art, if that makes sense.
Okay. Use me as a guinea pig for a second. So I'm curious, how do artists, and I'm going to go into it a little bit after I ask this question, have you figured out have you unlocked the door of being able to get somebody from Instagram to iTunes?
Almost, but you know, I don't really push my music much on streaming platforms.
Okay.
So I do more of a direct sale. Mm-hmm. Where my fans that are not just surface fans, but my like diehard real fans will go to my website and pay $15, $20 for a song, $30 for a song. How I did that was going through those comments, reaching out to those people. Every single person, literally, creating a more personable relationship with them, DMing them, talking to them, asking them like, hey, do you want to sign up for my fan club? You want to join my fan club? This is what goes on in the fan club, you know, blah, blah, blah. People say, yeah, they say no. They say, yeah, now I have their information. The way that I have my fan club set up, you have to put your email and your phone number in. So I'm actually hopping on the phone with these people and also sending them emails every other day about stuff that has nothing to do with my music. You know, just, oh, this morning, how about I got in a car wreck, or how about this happened, or damn, how about the kids was late for school today? Just wanted to check in, making sure you're okay, and making it a personal message between me and them just so that they understand you guys are a part of the journey.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it is time for me to release that music, I reach out to those same people on a phone line that I have, which is, you know, a regular number they can call, FaceTime, whatever. And I just, hey, I just want to let you know, I just released this single. I wanted you to get it early. You could pay what you want for it. And some people will go and pay what they want immediately. Some people go and do it later. I got people that paid $300 for an album. I got mm-hmm. people that paid $12 for an album. But my way of, like, bringing them over to my world was actually reaching and grabbing their hand and walking them over to let them know, because social media only shows a certain percentage of people your posts anyways. So if they're giving you the platform, you have to dig into that stuff and treat it like you know, you're going through and you're weaving out those people that are only going to stay on Instagram and those people that are going to follow you, and you just build that community by grabbing them one hand at a time, which is a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, but I'm not even gonna lie, you just turned this interview into a 180. I'm so interested. Hold up. How did you get into that? Like, what made you get into that?
Well, my boyfriend.
So this is something new?
This is something new.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, because I didn't understand it at first.
Okay.
Now, when it came to that part of the fan club, but before I started dating him, I had my own fan club on Facebook.
Okay.
So the hard part was bringing people from TikTok, because that was my biggest platform at the time, bringing people from TikTok to a group on Facebook, and then them willingly cash-apping me, because, you know, I couldn't do, like, it wasn't a way for me to accept payments on Facebook at the time. So they would just cash-app me $10 a month. I only had one tier at the time. And they just cashed at me to be in there. And I didn't send no friendly reminder or nothing. I just posted in the group, hey, y'all, dudes are due. That's what I called them. Dudes are due. This day, whoever paid them, whoever didn't, didn't.
Mm-hmm.
When I was telling my boyfriend about it, he was like, hey, you need to really look into, like, creating another space outside of social media where you can control your own. Because if your Facebook gets shut down or your TikTok gets shut down, how are you going to stay in contact with those people? So I ended up linking up with this company called Rivet. And hopping on the phone with the app, the people who actually created the app and the founders of the company, and actually telling them what I wanted them to build for me in the app. They built it within maybe like a 48-hour turnaround just for me.
Mm.
And we were able to, like, really, really zone in on those people. Again, with their phone numbers, email addresses, being able to reach out to them, call them. So then I took it upon myself to study how Rivet did it, meshed that with Even, which is another platform that I use. And I studied their system. And then I learned, with the help of ChatGPT, how to integrate that within my own website.
Mm.
And so never went to school for coding or none of that. It took me about 3 days. And then I just meshed what I studied from Rivet and what I studied from Even and put it together and made my own on-demand direct-to-consumer delivery thing, put it in my website.
You using WordPress or Wix or GoDaddy? Like, what do you use for your website?
So I got two, because I got two separate websites. So one of them I use GoDaddy and the other one I use Squarespace.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. Yo.
But on my GoDaddy, I was able to really, like, incorporate that by, retaining the information, but also going in and connecting my Stripe account and then going in with my Stripe. It's so much. Going in with my Stripe and then creating a Google Drive, and then you got to have a thing called, like, a J-hook that you have to have, where as soon as somebody pays for something, it automatically delivers the downloadable product to them, which is how I got the pay as you want. But again, with the help of chat and using it, because I probably would have paid an arm and a leg.
So your boyfriend got you into having people pay what they want?
Yes, he kind of introduced me to that.
Okay, because I ask that because there's so many people we see promote that. We got Russ. I don't know if he promotes the independence, but I see LaRussell all the time, like with Even paying what you want. My first person saying it was Nipsey Hussle. But a lot of these people, I hear them talk about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering why haven't you spoke about this? Or have you?
I spoke about it. You know my biggest thing?
What?
I don't post a lot of stuff that I do.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
I posted in my fan clubs, though.
Okay.
So, I don't post like a lot of interviews I do, a lot of stuff I talk about. I do so much stuff, and that's something that I got to get better at. I be posting it in my fan club. Okay. For them to see and for them to get those jewels. But I talk about it a lot. When I tell you a lot, I talk about it a lot. But
that's another stream of source of income.
Yeah.
Like teaching people what you just learned.
Yeah.
Because now you know it took you 3 days. Now somebody can pay to not have to take 2 days, 3 days.
Yeah.
You get what I'm trying to say? But now that's super interesting. So what I was going to originally ask you is, me being a guinea pig, is, so I see your content online, mm-hmm. and I think it's super dope.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never I never took the step to go off of this freestyle to listen to the music. And I'm wondering, like, is that something that you get a lot, that you see a lot, and is that frustrating?
It is something that you see a lot. And I can't allow or say that it's frustrating, because, again, you just got to go through and filter those people and find out which ones are going to go the extra mile. And I feel like streaming is for people that's not going to go the extra mile. But you do got people that'll be like, all right, because Instagram added this new thing where you could just tap and add it to your Spotify, which is a dope feature.
That's hard. Damn.
Yeah, they just added that. So social media is actually like trying to build more for artists and making it easier for people to find the creatives just as much as they are the content creators. I study that stuff too. But yeah, they actually got it now where, like, if you go to any song, as long as the song is registered and put out, then you could just hit the button beside the sound, and TikTok, Instagram will take you directly to the song.
Damn,
now
that's
on Spotify.
Fire.
So that I've actually seen a growth into that part. But to answer your question, it used to be very irritating and aggravating, but now I don't really pay it much attention because I can't. Yeah. I just got to keep pushing and keep doing it. And those people that are willing to be like, all right, let me press this button, they are. And then the people that's not, you're going to find me in your DM.
Okay. So, I asked that because I'm like, man, do you put out more freestyles? Because I don't know if I haven't just been looking, but at one time I was seeing you do mad freestyles, and it'd be dope. Like, I'm like, damn, she fire as fuck. Mm-hmm. But it's like, all right, now got to listen to the music. You get what I'm trying to say? But that's dope. Talking about the business side of this stuff, right? Like this entrepreneurship side of being an artist. I feel like a lot of people overlook that part. Like it being a job, actually. Like it being work.
Job.
I have one curious question before we go into it. So many people focus on being this famous rapper.
Absolutely.
But it's so many people who aren't as famous. It's so many people who we deem that fell off that still make a lot of money in the business of making music.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, if you did not become the next biggest artist in the world, but you made good money from it, would you be okay with that?
Yes.
Mm.
And I recently discovered that, like, for myself, because you're in the music business. Your job is to sell music.
Mm.
You can sell your music however you want to sell it. You can sell it on the streets with CDs. You can sell it on streams and have a million hands in your shit and you get in a portion of a penny. You can sell it at your shows. Your job is to sell music.
Mm.
And I used to have the dream of being the next big so-and-so, so-and-so.
We are there.
Right now, I just want to sell my music, do what I love, make money from doing what I love, and not be so in love with the idea of this fantasy, because that's, to me, is what makes it go down this spiral.
Because that's the conversation,
Like it makes it go down, because you're constantly chasing this dollar on a stick, and then you got all these people that is crazy, because they're telling you how to run your business with nothing invested and telling you that your business isn't enough. Mm. Well, you don't have enough streams and you don't have enough this. I had a company. My album, Dirt Rose, they over a million streams on even.
Mm.
I had a label to reach out. That wasn't enough for them because they can't pull money from that.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So even though, and I pulled it off of all platforms. It's not even up on all platforms anymore. I'm thinking about putting it back up, but it's not. But I had to realize, like, why you don't, artists, y'all don't have to play that game.
Mm. Come on.
That's a game that you don't have to play. This is your business. This is your dream. This is your goal. I'm telling you, I don't know if I can say shit, but I'm going to say shit. That shit will have you depressed as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And feeling like you're not enough and feeling like you constantly got to compete with social media being the way that it is now, with everything just being so tangible. Remember, social media, that shit is entertainment. A lot of that stuff, you could go right now to the fucking Gucci store and not buy shit. And I know because I used to do it. You can go in the store and get a fucking bag and not have shit in there but tissue and walk out and take a picture with that shit or create content with it and everybody think you got something. It's an illusion. And we can't get mad at them because that's how they're selling their music. That's how they're selling their product. Do what you need to do to sell your product the way that you need to sell it. And that's like the best advice that I can give anybody. Like, sell your shit. Even if you got five people that you're selling it to, continue to sell it to those five people. Find ways to make that five people, 10 people. Find ways to make $500 off of those five people. I always tell people, I got this new thing that I was talking to you about called a girls' room. We did our first meetup the other day, and I told them I had to sit down with myself and create a vision map, not a vision board. And I told them, this activity is going to make you very uncomfortable, but you got to do it. But they cried. Some people couldn't finish it. I was like, good, that means that you're doing the right thing. And God just told me to sit down and do it at home. I suck when it comes to vision boards. A lot of vision boards, people put these mansions and these cars, but they don't even put the fucking process that it takes to get to that shit. So that's what made me create this thing called a vision map. And what I did was, on my left side, I put my government name, and I put out my real life shit. My bills, the kids, gymnastics, car notes, football, basketball, insurance, mortgage, all of that stuff on there. How much money do I need to make a month?
How can I get that?
How can I get this? This is my map. This is what is. This is what needs to be secure every month. Then I went on the other side and I put Bella Black. And I put how the things that she is monetizing. You know, something that you got to realize about your business and personal, both of them motherfuckers fluctuate. Your light bill not going to be the same this month as it do next month. Your insurance going to be the same. Your car note, Lord's will, mortgage. Sometimes it changes because taxes. But you need to know that that stuff on your business side, that shit going to fluctuate because you're depending on other people's money, the economy, and things with other people. So I got a list and I put down ways that I'm monetizing my Instagram. And I also broke it down, not just by social media. Okay, how are you monetizing on your Instagram? How are you already monetizing on your Instagram? I'm getting paid by carousels, lives, gifts, blah, 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 whatever. Okay, and then what else? Now on your Meta, on Facebook, how are you being monetized? Stars, in-stream ads, bonuses, this, that, and the third. Breaking it down. Then on my TikTok, live gifts, this is that, and the third. Then I went on further to say how else I was monetizing on these different social media platforms. Then I went and said, okay, now what are these other ways that you can be monetizing that you're not? Like brand deals, ads, where you can actually charge businesses and other artists to run their music and stuff on your ads, on your page. How else can you monetize? So I had my money that I know I need to make, the money that I know I am, the ways that I am already generating money, but you can't put a price on it because you don't know yet, because it changes every month, especially with social media. You can get banned. They can take your monies away. And then on the other end, potential ways that I can make money, where I can go in and do things like you said, teach classes, host different events, do pop-up shops, do performances, features, different things like that. I like to live by that map now because that's something that every day, because I'm a person that got to see it, that's something that every day when I wake up, I can go and say, bitch, this what you got to do and this what you're working with. And it's no reason for you not to be able to do stuff, but that it will mess with you because it'll let you know how much you're not leveraging your business.
Bro, when I tell you, I cannot make this up. I literally just wrote this down. Is the date on here? Yeah, November 21st. What's the day? The day is 22nd.
Yeah.
I literally just wrote this yesterday, right? So literally just wrote this. Mind you, I'm not like a planner. Like, I suck at all that
me
shit,
too,
right?
Me too, me too.
So I was just like, let me write this shit down, because like I be here stressing, like, because this is my, like, I'm new to this entrepreneurship stuff. I've been talking about it for a minute. Like, I usually have a job, but I'm new to this. So it's been over a year now, and luckily I've been thugging, I've been making it work. So I'm like, yo, let me just do this for this is just for podcasting. So I wrote all of the ways that I'm making money and I can make money mm-hmm. for podcasting, just for podcasting. It's like 15 different things. And it made me feel so much better because it felt like I was relieved. Not saying that the list got me no extra money, mm-hmm. but now that I see it, I'm like, oh, I can pay attention to this more. Oh, I can focus on this more. Now I have an idea of how mm-hmm. I can make the money that I need. But before, I'm like, I don't know what the fuck
I'm telling you. And then also it helps because it lets you know whenever you're happy, because we're human. Mm-hmm. So it's stuff that will slip our mind because we got kids, we got bills, mm-hmm. we got things,
real life
got
shit
other
going
stuff.
On, yeah.
Right. So you forget. So if you got that map and you like, fuck, I can reach out.
Mm-hmm.
I can hit yep. Bel Air. I can hit so-and-so. Let me reach out to all these millions of smaller companies, smaller mm-hmm. than them. Oh, you could do product placement. Oh, while we doing this, price picks.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even try to make that shit look. They be like, oh, in the middle of an interview, oh, do you know you can do this, this. That shit ain't free.
Nope.
You could do the same thing.
Yep. Yeah. And it's crazy because like you said, going back to the question, right? At first, when I first got into this, it's like, man, I want to be the biggest mm-hmm. podcast in the world. And then it's like, man, shit, if I can pay my bills.
Come on now.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
From what I love to do, I mean, all right.
Yeah. Everybody gotta know me, who? Like, long as their bank account know me and their card don't decline.
Facts. So it's like, and I wanted to talk about that because like that's something that so many people overlook. It's like, yo, let's not overlook the business in this. Like, mm-hmm. don't spend so much, like, cool, be creative. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what bring the people.
Absolutely.
Do what you got to do. But don't overlook the business aspect of
it. Please don't. And artists also, don't forget sinks. I'm telling you, I think my highest sink was maybe 13,000 or 10,000. One of the two was 10 or 13,000 for a song that they used for maybe 30 seconds, y'all. And I actually had a conversation.
Explain what that is.
So syncs is, you know, like when they use your song for like commercials or in movies, okay. TV shows.
Placements.
Okay. Sync placements. You can be a sync artist and be making more money than your favorite, most famous artist. Mm. And you ain't got to be signed to a soul. Luckily, I lucked up with my first few sync placements through Issa's team and Eric from Ray Radio. I love you, Eric. Shout out to you. He ended up finding me on YouTube. And at the time, I think the song probably had, the video probably had 500 views.
Mm. Damn.
Maybe. And that was a seed that I planted years, and it ended up being able to be synced. And now I think I'm maybe 10, 15 sinks in.
Wow.
But, you know, y'all reach out to those people. Get on IMDb. Look at the end of the credits on these movies. Find out who the music supervisors are. Reach out to these people. You know, just reach out. Because, that's what I'm saying. Sinks, just imagine, for real, if you can get 4 sinks a month at $10,000 a month. Just 4. I've learned to make realistic plans,
mm-hmm. yep.
not even goals, because that word stressed me out. I've learned to make a realistic map, and I know that it's realistic because I've done it.
Mm.
That's something that no one can
take away from. Yeah.
It's not an algorithm. It's not a none of that. It's just
depending on me and my work, right. The work that I put in,
and the work that I put in. You can sit there and do that shit all day, every day, and they have a thing, and it's called sync artists.
No excuses.
And they make money, and then you can be whoever you want to be in that world. You could be a white man that's a black girl. You could be an old man that's a young girl. Mm. Like, you could be yourself. You could be whatever you want to be in the sync world. And the cool thing about those things is you can go and, if paperwork and stuff is right, you can also go and release that music too. You know, you still would be able to create, you know, collect monies and stuff off of that. And for me, my biggest sync that I'm a part of that I ain't got nothing to do with the song, but I love it for her is Juicy. I think it's her name, Juicy, the girl, Juicy Fruit with the P-Valley. Down okay. in the
yeah,
valley.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, everybody know that song.
Oh, so somebody made the song for her.
No, she made that song for the show.
The girl that acted?
No, Juicy Fruit, she's an artist.
Okay, okay. But she I'm made the song she, for the
for,
chick.
But for P-Valley, for the show. But okay. Think about it, that's a big-ass song.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because it's a song that everybody knows. You know what I'm saying? She's now a part of history.
Yeah.
You know? And so I just say that to say, and I'm not just saying it because I'm a part of P-Valley. I'm just saying, like, that was a fucking hell of a sync. Like, not just for her. It's be millions of people who land those songs, 50 Cent, the song that they got with Power and all of those intro songs. Like, those are syncs and placements.
That's crazy. That's, yo, you get dropping game. That's fire, man. That's so.
Yeah, make your child get up, create.
It's $1 million for game right here.
Create, y'all. Don't just get up and create songs for you. Get up and create songs, but just get up. If it come to your mind and you're thinking about it, just get up and do it. Trust me, it'll find a home somewhere. It might not be on your album. And it might not be, you know, something that you're going to put out for you, but maybe Verizon can use it for a commercial or Tyler Perry can use it for something. Or
how do you pitch that, though?
So I would just connect with music supervisors. Like I said, you can go on different places and find music supervisors. You can look at them on the back of the credits. A lot of times you can go to, like, IMDb Pro. Some of them are listed there. It's a lot of websites where you can look up.
But it won't be for a show that's already started. It might be for something that's new.
No, if they started, because it's an ongoing, especially they still shooting.
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, it's a process.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
okay.
So you just never know. But it shows being shot all day. You can get a sync on a podcast.
Yeah, I ain't paying for that shit right now.
You don't got to pay for it. I'm saying, like, let's say you go create your own sync, your own podcast. And let's say the podcast is showing on a place where spins and stuff are being registered. Mm-hmm. Now you can go and you can register your song and you'll be able to get your quarterly money from that.
Wait, so if somebody make a song for me, right? Let's just say somebody.
Or if you make your own song.
Okay, I was thinking somebody make a song for me. And I put it on as my intro song.
Mm-hmm.
They can register and get paid?
Yes. Quarterly for that. As long as the show is, like, syndicated. You know how you can have it syndicated and it's all in all that BDS and all that stuff, Nielsen and all that. Then, yes. As long as they paperwork right and your shit right, y'all gonna be straight.
Damn.
You can create opportunities for people. I'm telling you, it's a lot.
That's fire. Yo, walk me through this P-Valley stuff. How did that happen?
Writing in a sink. The same fucking sink.
Wait, what?
Okay, so keep in mind, I just told you. So Eric, which is Issa's people, found me on YouTube, brought me to Issa Rae's team. Love Issa's team, Ray Radio, hooray. Shout out to y'all. Love you guys. X was working with Issa at the time and hit me and was like, hey, you need to go to Memphis. We're doing a writer's camp for P-Valley Music. I said, okay. I had to be in Texas 2 days after for a week for South By. So I was like, all right, let me just get up and go to Memphis. Then had the money to fly, and I had to take my kids, so we drove all the way to Memphis.
You drove with all your kids?
Yeah, all three of them. We went to Memphis. I wanted to scream. Thank God it was a short drive, but Jesus, I wanted to scream. So we got there. We checked in the hotel. I was like, look, my kids are older, so they were fine.
Okay.
I'm like, I'm going to bring y'all some food from where we at. The studio was literally, God is so good. The studio was literally a 2-minute drive. We was at 4U Studio. So whenever I ate, I would just leave the studio real quick, take the kids some food, check on them, make sure they're straight. Whatever we needed to do, go back to the studio. We write music. I talked to this girl named Taliba. She's an amazing artist. And I'm like, fuck, right? And I need to be on the show, bullshitting, not thinking nothing of it. So she like, the opportunity in the room, when she said that, my mind was just like, you.
Mm-hmm. Went from joke to like.
To seriously.
Facts.
You know, because I'm very competitive with it myself. Mm-hmm. Not thinking about nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to see, like, can you do this? You know? So everybody's like, you need to talk to Katori, talk to Katori, talk to Katori. And so I'm like, all right, where's Katori? I don't see Katori till literally like my last day being there. So I'm sitting there and I'm after we done wrote the music, we done made everybody laugh, everybody's there, write music or whatever. I get Katori my whole life spiel. Now keep in mind I wrote Katori back in 2021 on Instagram. She just now writing me back. I was already on the show by the time she DM'd me back.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy. But I only had a big part in a show, in a movie called Sin, it's not even out yet. Mm. Showed her that, didn't hear nothing from them for a while. Felt like I completely embarrassed myself because I told this lady everything about me. I was so nervous because I was like, what did you do that shit for? A few months later, I got an email. I was laying in my bed. And I got an email, and they were like, we heard a bunch of great things about you. Katori and Ian couldn't stop talking about you. We want you to audition for a one-off. I auditioned, didn't hear nothing back for a little bit. So then they finally emailed me back and was like, hey, we want you to audition for this new role. She'll be a reoccurring role. Her name is Elaine, da-da-da. Learned it, was nervous and shit. And then, you know, I got to do. So it was like the briefing of the character. I was like, oh, my God. Like, I don't know. So I went back and forth a little bit. Did it, killed it.
Mm.
They emailed me back in April. I think it was the day after. I think it was 4/22, if I'm not mistaken. On April 22nd. And they were like, we want to hire you. They told me how much I'll be getting paid. I'll be working with them from April until we wrap in November. And I now am one of the new co-stars for P-Valley.
Congratulations, but wait a second. Hold up. That shit just gave me the chills. You drove to Memphis with your three kids.
I did.
Got a hotel.
Yes.
Every time you ate, you went back to get them
food. Yeah, because I didn't have no money. So I used the money for the gas and for the hotel.
How old were your kids? How old was your kids?
This was just now. I have 15, 13, and... 10.
How supportive are they? Are they understanding what's going on when you drive into?
Yes.
Are they helping, like, motivate you? Like, how?
They what, are.
Like, because they're kids still.
No. My kids are gods. Mm. They different. Like, those are my interceders. Like, those are my prayer warriors. Those are my, like.
What about school?
It was on a weekend.
Okay, so yes. That was lucky.
Yeah, so I drove them, which was crazy, because I had to fly out to Texas. So I drove them back and then caught a flight to Texas. And by that time, my boyfriend's mom was here to stay home with them. She came home. She came here from Chicago to support.
The things you got to do to be a full-time mom's and...
That's the conversation.
Like, damn. But, yeah.
And it was just scary. And then, like, the last day... I just brought them with me. Like, I brought them to the studio with me. I was like, you know, just come. Because I wanted them to see it. I wanted them to see the grind. I wanted them to see, like, what comes with this stuff. And also, you know, with me, I was a teen mom. You know what I'm saying? So I wanted to show my kids, like, they seen the ugly. Y'all get to see the good. You get to see the grind. I really love my kids. Like, they are the most supportive, understanding children ever.
Mm.
You know? They're the most supportive, understanding kids ever. And they understood. And again, like I said, the hotel was only 2 minutes away. So I just drove back, poop, came check on them, came back. Every so often I would just go back and check on them and stuff until I brought them with me the last day, because we were there for like 2.5 days, almost 3 days.
If you can, looking back, and if you had to take your time, like, what does it mean to be a mother but full-time, like, artist, to see these things go good, to see these things go bad, to see the times where you got to miss opportunities, to see the times where you got to make things, create opportunities. Like, what does that mean?
It's a lot.
Mm.
It's so much that I quit every day. And I don't never quit, but I quit in my head, seriously, because it's a lot. I don't have the luxury, I would say, of, like, because I don't trust people with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, and my parents, they not here. And so sometimes it's just different because it's like, for instance, if I want to get up in the middle of the night and go to the studio, I don't feel comfortable because we do live so far. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't feel comfortable getting up 2, 3 o'clock in the morning being like, they sleep. I could just get up and go to the studio. I'd rather just be home with them and see them off to school and then be like, all right, let me try to, during these times. Like, I text you, I was like, at the 5. Because mm-hmm. that way I can just kind of like be home when they get out the bus, have their food ready for them, those type of things.
You saw what I said.
Yeah, right, right.
I was at the same time.
Man.
Like, she got daycare, but, so I can only do four.
Man, but it's just like, it's very challenging. And I feel like once I get a better system going, and once I can like get a nice, I wouldn't even say nanny. My dream is to like have my mother not live in my house, but live somewhere in the perimeter mm-hmm. and have her here to help with the kids. I feel like it'd be a lot easier. But it is times where it is frustrating. I remember Art Basel last year, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe it was, I can't remember. But anyway, we were there with Kanye and me and my boyfriend flew in because, you know, he, you know, has done a lot of things with Kanye. And so we flew in because Kanye was dropping Vultures, him and Ty. And a lot of the content is on my page. And so all of Kanye's team, everybody at the hotel, we chilling, having fun, and then they get a text and they like, pack up, we finna go to somewhere. I can't remember, but it was out of the country. So I had to fly back home because I had to get back to the kids because my babysitter had, at the time, had other stuff to do. And my boyfriend, he went on to go and work. And those just be the moments where I'm like, damn, you know, I don't regret my kids at all. I regret not being as prepared as I would need to be for me to be able to just soar the way that I want to. There are a lot of times where it does bother me a little bit, but those are, again, not because of me having kids. I don't have the biggest support system when it comes to them. But my kids are very dope-ass kids. And wherever they can go, I do take them. Mm-hmm. Like, they went with me on set a few times at the show when I was filming for P-Valley. Not because they had to, but because I wanted to show them that. But I do want to encourage women or men, because some men are single fathers too, you know, don't let that get in the way of what you're doing. Just find ways to make it work for you. And a lot of times, especially on the incline, you are going to have to turn down a lot of things, or you're going to have to, for me, build your studio in the house where you could be able to work. But then you do have to deal with mama and them telling you about their day, or randomly wanting to show you a magic trick that's not that great, but you gotta act like it's the best shit ever. It's like, what? And now he wanna teach you how to do it. And now I'm over it. So I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I don't even wanna do music right now at this moment. Let me just give you my time. You know, so just finding a healthy balance that's almost impossible, but just finding a way to make it work.
So, okay. That's the hard part about it, right? So when you get opportunities like P-Valley, right? And you reminisce or you reflect on all of the hard work that it took you to get here, driving with the kids, like shit you would have never imagined that nobody on this earth probably would imagine, right? And you see it work.
Right. It's a beautiful thing.
What's the first thing that popped through your mind? Just like, damn, man, this is...
For me, I'm still processing it. But one thing that I'm so grateful for is that, like, I made a way to do it. And that God allowed certain things to be put into play where things were able to go just as well as they needed to go. Funny thing is, 3 days after I got on the show, my car was totaled. Keep in mind, I live like an hour and some change from set. So they couldn't get me to and from because I technically wasn't out-of-town talent. So,
And you got to be there like 5 in the morning, call time.
We
be
were
like,
there early as hell some days, late some days. It was just challenging. But I had people that I didn't even know would do the type of things that they were doing, like getting out of their bed for me. And I'm living an hour from them. Then we're an hour from set. So they had to leave their house at like 2 in the morning to get to me at 3 for me to be on set at 4. But God just really did build those warriors and that that team around to protect and to make sure that I was able to do what I needed to do to get the job done. And when I tell you, everything was flawless. I went through a lot of stuff, but it just didn't mean that much to me because I knew and I realized, like, you have to release. And I always have made this promise to God and always to my kids that, like, whenever an opportunity that I deem is, like, my it opportunity, I will do whatever I need to do to make sure that it's complete. I can honestly say that P-Valley was one of the first things that I felt like was my real it opportunity that could not be snatched away from me. I knew it was for me, and it was something that I took. It wasn't given to me. I wasn't the only person that auditioned for the role of Elaine. I wasn't the only person that did that. I took that. Mm. And I had no mercy about it, and I have no apologies about taking that from nobody. Mm. And it's just something that I encourage people to do. Get okay with taking shit. Get hungry with it, and just know that everything that you need to do to be able to complete that task, you're going to be able to do it. I never felt like that about nothing else. Mm. Even with my music, it's always gone for me, felt like it was a middle person in a way. It was always an algorithm or a label or A&R or something saying you're not good enough for this, or this is not going to work, or that's not going to work. With that show, I ain't feel like that. Mm.
Yeah, you never get emotional just thinking about those things, because nigga, there's been times where
I'm trying not to cry now. Yeah,
I'm like, I want to cry for you, because it's like, bro, do you understand how good, like, God, like, man, people talk about the nigga shit all the time, but man, it's times where things work out and when you least expect it, and it'd be like, there's no way. Like, it's no, like, you can't even explain it to nobody. It's like, bro, y'all don't have, all the odds was against me, and look at me now.
Absolutely.
It's like, that shit, man.
And it's just, crazy. It's crazy. It's just, like I say, I just be looking at it like, God, you know, what the hell? Because I literally, we were going through, like, you know, I had just bought my home. So when you just bought your house, and then we had just got a car, and the car that we just got, someone hit, you know what I'm saying? It was just like, well, damn, you know, you can't really, you know, your credit be fucked up after you buy a drop. Especially when you barely get out here. I was just getting into credit and financial literacy and all that stuff. Ain't nobody teach me that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I feel like everything I do is hard. And people don't understand why I am so, like, I'm not aggressive, but I'm a very no-nonsense type of person. I'm quick to cut people out because it's like, bro, I know what the fuck I have to go through to get this shit done. Like, I don't have time to be playing with you. I don't have time to be doing these type of things. And I can honestly say, like, this year for me was a year of faith because I didn't have shit else. Mm. Like, didn't have nothing else. This year was definitely a year of faith for me.
So we can see you on the new season of P-Valley, like, on some regular week-to-week type shit.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. And the character name is Elaine?
Yes.
Who was Elaine? Is she a stripper? Is she a dancer? What can you tell us?
I can't tell you too much, but I can tell you that Elaine is a character that if you know Bella, you know Elaine.
Oh. I don't know. You be playing a lot. I don't know. Is she? I'm thinking about TikTok. Is she a homeless chick? I don't know. Like, I feel like it could be anything. Like, it could be a stripper. It could be literally any damn thing.
Elaine is everything. Seriously. She's different. She's about her shit.
Is she a dancer, though? Can you say? I mean, can you? That's not.
Say.
Oh. Whatever.
But I can say that, you know, she works really closely with Roulette.
Who is that? You gotta remind me.
Roulette. Look it up. Go look at the show.
Who was Roulette?
Roulette was one of the dancers at the show. At the pink on the show.
Which one?
Roulette. Bright tone.
The light skinned chick.
One. She also
She fire. Yeah. Oh, yeah. She was like a main
Gail
character.
Gail Bean, yes.
Oh, yeah, she not. Nah, her character is fire.
She's amazing.
Yeah, her character is fire. Yeah.
She did a lot.
Okay,
great,
I remember.
With Snowfall. She actually just finished this Netflix project that just came out, Piano Lessons. Very dope human. She got a nonprofit. Just beautiful soul. Beautiful soul.
How is it working with, what's the guy's name?
Uncle Clifford.
Yeah,
Nico.
Yeah.
I love working with Nico. Nico is the type of human that will pull you to the side and encourage you or help you to snap back into reality when he can see it. He got like this gift where he can see when you drifting off or when you thinking shit. And it's just so dope because he's helped me and like medicated me in ways that he didn't even know a lot of times on the show. So we are actually like one big, we say family on that show, but it's a beautiful thing.
It seems like, and I don't know if it's true because I don't know him or none of the people personally. It seems like he does such a good job at playing Uncle Clifford. It feels like if I was to see him outside of the show, that would be him. Is that him?
To me, he's a great actor.
Oh, so he's like the opposite.
I'm not going to say he's the opposite, but he's like, he's a great person. He's like very, I don't know, he's just very classy and like, I don't know. I love
so he's chill outside of the show.
From what I've experienced through him, yes. Very humble person. I hate that word humble. I hate that word humble. I feel like humble is when people try to, but very like, he's a human. And I love that.
Okay. I'm just trying to see if it's any difference between him out like off camera and on camera. Because on camera it seems like on Clifford seems like a cool dude.
He's cool as fucking person too. Mm. So... Yeah.
Nah, man, this is crazy, man. Like, I can't wait to see it. When it come out?
We have no clue. I really wish we did. Now, that part is the truth. I swear to God. As soon as they tell us we can tell y'all, I am. Dan told us nothing. But we did have a screening of episodes 1 and 2.
Oh, wow. But that was for, like, the popular
It was
people.
Just for us. It was for the cast and crew. Oh. And what I will tell y'all is that this season... it's going to be insane. And we hear y'all fans fussing and cussing, but I promise you.
What are they fussing about?
Because, you know, it's been a minute since aired. Yeah. So, yeah. But it's going to be crazy. I mean, it's definitely one of the best seasons to hit the TV world that I do know. Whether I was on the show or not.
Yeah.
Just what I know.
From what I can remember, like it's been a while. I feel like the first season was crazy. The second season, because it was two seasons already.
It was two seasons. Uh-huh.
The second season, I'm not really sure. I don't remember. I don't be watching. I be in my own little world. But I feel like towards the end, kind of got like just like, eh. But I remember the first season was like, hands down, really good. I'm like, damn, that's just fire.
It's gonna be crazier.
All right, man. What else, man? Is it what else you had going on? That
So y'all, I just published my first book called The Magic Inside. It's on Amazon. It's a kid's version of my life. It's a very short book. It's a motivational book, self-love book. But I use my store because I got a unicorn store for little girls in Dallas, Georgia. I'm a girl's girl. I have all boys, but my store is strictly for the girls.
Is it brick and mortar or?
Yeah, I got a brick and mortar. So my
what's going on? I need to learn some shit. God.
The point of my store is to allow girls to be kids and just girls, you know, as much as possible. Like I said, I was a teen mom. I feel like I didn't really get to be a kid as much as I wanted to. You know what I'm saying? As long as I wanted to. So the point of that store is, you know, definitely for little girls to come in there. They get their hair done. They get their nails and stuff painted, chemical. You know, we just do the regular polish and stuff. We do sip and paint tea parties, face painting, birthday parties. I do a unicorn ball every month. I have different sponsors that come out and support and take care of stuff for the kids. I have animal shelters that come and bring unicorns for the girls. It's just an amazing thing. And I use a lot of, you know, things that go on in my store and stories that I take from the girls, meshing it with my own stories to, like, incorporate that into the first book because I'm definitely going to keep it going as a series. Mm. But it's an amazing thing. And then every Saturday, if I'm not busy, usually I will tell my kids on that Wednesday or Thursday. But every Saturday in my store, I do entrepreneur classes for kids.
Wow, that's dope as hell. How do you think girls can just be girls, I guess?
Just realizing that they don't have to grow up so fast. Being okay with, you know, not trying to be like others that they see. Knowing that it's okay to be innocent. It's okay to, you know, not be as advanced or not to hang out here or not to have a phone or to still be in love with baby dolls or unicorns, to still be able to dream and imagine to still use your imagination. I still use my imagination a lot. Mm-hmm. I still talk to myself a lot. I don't have imaginary friends, but I do, you know, still allow myself to imagine and to use my imagination because that's my safe place. And so I encourage those babies to just come in and, like, just be you. Mm-hmm. And it's just a place where they come in. I don't allow parents in my store because I feel like they try to, like, oh, don't touch this, don't do that. You say that for at home. Mm. Whenever they come in, they sign a waiver. If they want to stand right there, it's a little area they can stand. It's a, we have a bar in the back where, because it's in the markets, where the parents can go and drink or do whatever, have fun, whatever they want to do. And me and those babies sit down and bun, or they bun with each other, and I get out the way and just put them in different rooms where they can actually network, talk, you know, learn about different cultures and stuff in a free space where they're not being, like, you know, hawked over and told, like, this is wrong. That they just get to, like, be them and be free. And
do you think, because you said, like, it's okay to be, like, just a girl and not have to grow up as, but do you think that's, from your experience, do you think that's much of your control?
Yeah. Mm. Your parents. But that's why it's important for you to find out what things that you could do to keep you sane in those moments. You know, it's a lot of kids that had to raise kids early, you know, and things like that. So my whole point is just trying to help them to find different ways for them to be able to do different things while they're in those situations.
Okay.
Which they might not normally be open to doing. Or like my mom didn't tell us nothing about no sipping paint. She didn't do no spa days with us as little girls. And we didn't do coloring books and stuff. You know, she was a good mom for the most part, but, like, we didn't do no girly stuff all the time. You know what I'm saying? So just creating those moments, you know, with those little girls and having unlimited amounts of events and stuff, and me connecting with the parents, too, so that the parents can trust me with those kids and trust my judgment and trust the process with those babies. And it's just a beautiful thing.
Mm. Nah, this is fire, man. Go grab a book. You said it's on Amazon.
The Magic Inside.
The Magic Inside, man. Bella Black. She's going to be Elaine, you say?
Elaine
on P Valley. Dope music. Check it out, man. This great conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Alrighty. It's a wrap. We out.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Have you ever killed a houseplant before? Don't worry, you are not alone. But what if I told you you're not destined to be a plant killer? What if I told you you could not only fill your home with gorgeous, luscious, happy, thriving plants, but live a happier life through caring for them? Hey, new plant friend, my name is Maria. I am a former plant killer turned happy plant lady and host of the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where it is my life's mission to help you grow happy plants and thrive alongside them. Because when you learn to care for plants, you really learn to slow down, connect with nature, and nurture yourself too. Each week, I share expert tips, inspiring conversations, and soulful planty wisdom to help you grow a greener, happier life. So if you're ready to turn your plant struggles into plant joy and get the green thumb you've always dreamed of, search Growing Joy with Plants wherever you listen to podcasts and hit subscribe. That's Growing Joy with Plants podcast. Let's grow some joy together.